speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
As I think in regard to our Thanksgiving, I think about the multiple feasts that Israel shared with one another. Can you imagine how living during Old Testament times must have been? You know, the Jews realized without any question that they were God's chosen people. They were told that time and time again by the prophets of old. Also, they were given the law of Moses, the law that God had given amongst His special chosen people, and they were to know that law and to live according to that law in order for them to be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. Also, though, we understand is that they were instructed concerning the coming of the Messiah and His kingdom. They realized that they needed to be redeemed and that there was a plan that God had in place that not only would offer redemption, but also that would establish them as a mighty nation in and amongst the people, not only of that day, but for every generation. For we are reminded of what Abraham was promised, that through him all nations of the earth would eventually be blessed. And the Jews understood that it was through their seed, through their lineage, that the Messiah was going to come. And for that reason, they anticipated, eagerly awaiting the coming of the Lord. This morning, during the time in which we have with one another, I want us to look at four very important aspects concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First off, I want us to examine the birth of Christ and to identify some major things that we need to understand in regard to His birth. And then I want us to look at the life of Christ and to identify from the context in regard to what God says about His life and how all of these things are applicable to you and me as Christians today. And then I want us to focus upon the mission of Jesus while He was here. What was it that He came to do? And then what does that mean to you and me as Christians? And then finally, I want us to conclude with the death of Christ and to identify the things that were stated in regard to His death. And then again, the importance of what His death signifies for you and me as members of the Lord's church. First off, when we think in regard to the birth of Christ, we find the fulfillment of all prophetic promises in regard to God concerning Christ. We understand from the Old Testament Scripture there are over 400 things that were stated in regard to prophecy about the Messiah. As you look to the whole of Jesus' life, we find the fulfillment of all of these 400 plus different prophecies concerning Christ, and a lot of those prophecies dealt with the birth of Jesus. We understand, according to the Old Testament Scripture, that He was going to be born of a virgin. And the New Testament Scripture understand that whenever Jesus Christ came into this world, we find the fulfillment of this in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the law. We also are told in the Old Testament Scripture that He would come forth from the seed of Abraham, that through Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. As we study from the context of Genesis, we realize in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1 is that God is speaking in reference to a singular seed wherein that mankind was going to be blessed. In the New Testament Scripture, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, we have identified for us that that singular seed is in reference to Jesus Christ our Lord. So in the birth of Christ, whenever Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, born under the law, we realize that it is through His seed that mankind is able to be redeemed. In the Old Testament Scripture, time and time again, we have prophetic statements stating that the Messiah was going to come. Well, the Messiah, according to what we read in the New Testament Scripture, is the Christ. And the Christ and the Messiah, then, are one and the same, and they are pointing to the Anointed One. God promised that He would send a special one into the world, that this individual would be the Anointed of God, that this individual would, in being the Anointed of God, would come with a purpose to be the Redeemer for all of mankind. And good people, in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the fulfillment of this promise. But also, as we get into the New Testament Scripture and consider the birth of Christ, I believe that the minds of Joseph and Mary must have been boggled. You have a lady who is a virgin. She had never been with a man. And she realized that, but not only did she realize this, Joseph, who was engaged to her, Joseph, who loved her, realized that they had never come together. And in regard to this, whenever Mary comes to an understanding that she has conceived a child and that she's going to bring forth a child into this world, good people, I believe that she was perplexed. I believe that she had her mind boggled as to why or how this had taken place. But not only her, take into consideration also Joseph. Whenever Joseph came to realize that Mary has conceived and that she's going to bring forth a child into this world, he had every right to rebuke her openly as well as to dispose of her. But yet at the same time, he did not do that. Was he confused on the matter? Yes, but yet at the same time, God realized, no doubt, the confusion that he would have, and God sent forth a messenger, an angel, to declare unto him that this was the working of God. And as a result of that, then he accepted this, as well as Mary. But also, take into consideration whenever Jesus Christ was here, and whenever he and his family had gone to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, and remember that Jesus tarried there, unbeknownst to his mother and father's knowledge. They had gone back home, and in their journey back home, Mary came to realize that Jesus was not in and amongst their mix. And whenever they went to find him back in Jerusalem, where was he? He was with the wise men of the day, and he was teaching them, expounding upon things pertinent to the law. And this was a 12-year-old boy. And can you imagine how Joseph and Mary must have looked at him and how they were just taken back by his knowledge? They were no doubt challenged with how Jesus, at the age of 12, would have had this knowledge and this understanding, the ability to expound upon aspects of the law. But let's fast forward then to the time in which he began to work. And you look to Mary especially, and the way in which he is working in mightily ways in and amongst the people of that day. I believe that they were impressed, but also they were taken back by trying to figure out exactly what it was that he was doing. And all of this connects back then to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus' birth took place, we also read from the Scripture is that it challenged the leading rulers of that day. Take into consideration Herod. Herod certainly realized what the law taught concerning the coming of the Messiah. And whenever word came shortly after Jesus' birth, and in fact we take it all the way to maybe 2 years after Jesus' birth, that the Messiah had been born, that the anointed of God now was upon the face of the earth, Herod was challenged by this. Why? Because as he looked to the Messiah coming, he saw this one who was going to establish a kingdom that put his kingdom, his rule and his reign into threat. And good people, I believe that that's why we find in the context of the Scripture that this man issued a decree that children from the age of 2 and under, male children from the age of 2 and under, be annihilated, be destroyed. And we know that while he issued that decree that Joseph and Mary's child, Jesus Christ our Lord, was saved providentially and miraculously, if you would, even by the working of our God, in order for Jesus to reign upon the face of this earth. When Jesus Christ our Lord was born, we have revealed to us our God's saving grace. God, in His graciousness, loves mankind. And God, through His mercy and providentially, as well as through prophetic statements, had introduced time and time again that He was going to offer redemption unto mankind. In fact, we read in the New Testament Scripture, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, lest anyone boast." God was going to save mankind through His grace. And that grace is seen and revealed through Jesus Christ when He came into this world. Good people, through the birth of Christ, you and I have so much to be grateful for. And also, we need to remember His birth on a continual basis. But in like figure, what do we learn in regard to the life of Christ? When Jesus lived here upon the face of the earth, good people, He lived a life that was normal in comparison to what you and I might face during our time here upon the face of this earth. He did not have everything under the sun handed to Him on a silver platter. He had parents who lived a very humble life. He had parents who would have put their hands to the plow, if you would, who would have worked very hard in order to not only provide for the family, but also then to provide to survive. We learn in regard to Joseph is that he was a carpenter. In fact, Jesus, during the time in which he was here, he was oftentimes referred to as the son of the carpenter's son. And what do we learn in regard to a carpenter? Well, I know if we take it and plug it into our modern age, is that a carpenter oftentimes is not the most wealthiest individual, as well as carpenters, they really earn every dollar that they have. They get out and they work amongst the people, and they've got to be an honest and upright individual. And I think that that's what we find whenever we think about Joseph, is that this man understood that if his family was going to eat, if he was going to put food on the table, it required him every single day to get up and to go to work and to sacrifice for his family. And he did that. And he was not well to do in any sense of the imagination. And therefore, Jesus grew up in a normal home that you and I might even be accustomed to today. And also, I think from the context of Scripture, when we consider the life of Jesus, we would understand is that He was instructed according to the Jewish customs of that day. When it came to the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacle and the other feasts of that time frame, Jesus would have understood not only the importance of keeping this feast, but in like figure, the significance surrounding all of the feasts. When it came to the Feast of Passover, like most Jews, the parents instructed them that this is very significant to who we are in regard to our relationship with our God. Our God passed over us in order for us to lead our children and our people out of Egypt into the promised land. And therefore, Jesus would have understood the feast as well as the surroundings of the feast. He also would have understood the Sabbath, that the Sabbath was a day that God had established in and amongst the Jews for them to worship. And Jesus understood very clearly not only what it represented, but He understood the seriousness of coming together upon the Sabbath so that He could be with God's people and connect with God. He would have also understood the significance of sacrificial offering. Under the Old Covenant law, Israel was commanded to offer the very best as a means of sacrificial offering so that they could be atoned of their sin. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3. And our Lord would have received this instruction from His mother and father, and ultimately then we know that Jesus would have realized that He was going to be the ultimate sacrifice offered for the sins of mankind. You know, as I consider the life of Jesus and the teaching centered in and around Christ in the New Testament Scripture, I think that Jesus experienced a normal life. He experienced the ups and downs in life that you and I oftentimes experience. He knew what it was to be tempted. And good people, whenever I say that He knew exactly what it was to be tempted, take into consideration that shortly after, shortly just before, His ministry is introduced to us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. The Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 through 10 that He is met by Satan and taken up into the pinnacle of the temple where He is tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And in this, the devil comes and he tempts Him in all areas that you and I are tempted in. But yet what did Jesus do? Jesus said, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And Jesus used Scripture each time to defeat the devil. And certainly that would serve as an example to you and me today of how we can and must stand opposed to the devil in our lives. Also, think about the various trials that Jesus faced. When He came to this world, He came to die for mankind. He came to offer us a means of salvation. How was He received? Most of the people rejected Him. Most of the people ridiculed Him. Most of the people tried and tried time again, especially the Pharisees and sometimes the scribes, to trip Him up, to trick Him, and to get Him to say things that would go against the law. so that they could then attack him and ultimately then kill him or crucify him. And Jesus then faced multiple trials each and every day. And why did he go through these various trials in life and all of the temptations? Good people, because he had you and me in mind. Because he was thinking about us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 says that in all things he had to be made like his brethren that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He went through all of these things, the ups and downs, the everyday walk of life, so that he would be able to connect with us as well as so that he could serve as our faithful and merciful high priest. As we look to the big picture in regard to the life of Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ clearly understood the main reason why he came into this world. The Scripture tells us in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, in the setting with Nicodemus, that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Zacchaeus, rather. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And good people, when we look in regard to his life, everything that Jesus did was centered in and around trying to reach the souls of mankind. In fact, we understand is that Jesus surrendered himself and submitted himself to the will of our Heavenly Father. He was fully submissive to God's will. Why? Because it all connected with man's salvation through the shedding of His blood. And He surrendered whatever it was that He would have wanted to have done as a human. Yes, there was that human angle or side of Jesus that sometimes we neglect to think about. He was as much human as what you and I are. Yes, He was 100% God, but He was also 100% mankind, born of a woman. He came into this world living in the flesh, John chapter 1 and verse 14. And because of that then, He would have had desires. He would have had wants to have just lived a normal lifestyle and not to have hung on the cross. And I think that that's in part what we read there where He prays three times, Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. That's the flesh in Him. Father, if there's another way, if there's a plan B, let's see it. But there was not. And for that reason, then, Jesus surrendered Himself and His will, knowing what Heaven's will was, that it would require Him to die in order for you and me to be saved. His life was about our life, our spiritual life, to someday be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. Let's also consider the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus centered in and around seeking every single lost soul. When we think about Jesus and His life, we know that He was a Jew, and therefore He would have wanted His Jewish family to have been saved, and we find is that He spent a lot of time in and around the Jews, telling them, identifying that He was God's saving grace, that He was the Messiah. Yet at the same time, the Jews rejected Him. The Jews did not want much, if anything at all, to do with Him. And Jesus also then extended His love, God's loving kindness, as well as an introduction, I think, in regard to God's saving grace unto others, taking into consideration the Samaritans. When Jesus spoke with a Samaritan woman, He identifies unto this woman that He is the living water, that it's through Him that mankind is able to have not their physical thirst quenched, but rather that they're able to have their spiritual thirst filled up to wherein that they will be able then to live eternally so that they will never die. And who is it that Jesus is speaking to in the context here of John chapter 4? He's speaking to the Samaritan. And who is the Samaritan? She is a Gentile. She's not a Jew. And what does that tell us about Jesus? As He was seeking to save the lost, He was seeking to save all of the lost. Every single soul was and continues to be important to our Lord today. During His mission also, Jesus was able to reveal our Heavenly Father like our God had never been revealed before. The prophets of old had spoken regard to God on numerous occasions. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spake in times past to the fathers through the prophets, the prophets spoke as men who were led or carried about by the Holy Spirit. And as these men were led or carried about by the Holy Spirit, God worked through these men to identify unto the Jews at that time pertinent information that they needed to know as His people. But yet at the same time, there were aspects about God that they did not reveal and that they could not reveal. Why? Because they were men. When Jesus Christ came to this world, the Scripture tells us that He pre-existed in heaven with God as God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And therefore, when Jesus Christ came to this world, good people, He was able to declare God in a way that God had never been able to be revealed in times past. Why? Because He is God Himself. And as God, He understands the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He understands the love that the Father has for mankind. And while He was here, He declared that in ways that were understandable and in ways that were profound to the people of that age. Jesus Christ, in His mission, revealed our Heavenly Father like He had never been revealed before. But also in His mission, He extended beyond the Judaical traditions of that time. The Jews required sacrifice, and Jesus was going to proclaim, and He did, that He was going to be the ultimate sacrifice at the cross. And as He taught the people were impressed with Him during the time that He was on His mission work here in this world. And they were impressed with Him. Why? Because the Scripture says that He taught them as one having authority. Well, what is that authority that He taught with? Good people, He had not studied in their schools of that day. And therefore, they were impressed with the fact that He has all of this knowledge, and that knowledge did not come from the rabbinical priest of that time. But also, He taught them as one who was able to implement, who was able to institute, who was able to establish a new and a better way. And the Scripture ultimately tells us that He did in His death establish a new and a better covenant, of which traditions today or commandments we are to live by. When you and I think in regard to our life as Christians, our God wants us to understand that the mission of Jesus Christ is now being given over to you and me. You and I have been commissioned to go and to do the works of God, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And a part of the works of God is to make sure that we reach every single soul that we can with the good news about the saving grace that our God extends to mankind through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But what about the death of Christ? What can we learn in regard to His death? Good people, when we think about the death of Christ, we find that there's a closure being brought forth in regard to God's scheme of redemption. All along, we realize that God's plan was in place and that God knows the beginning and the end of what His plan is in Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ gave us the ghost and said that it is finished, what did He mean? Good people, I think that He meant so much more than that His life is finished. I think what He meant there whenever He said that it is finished, that He was referring to the completion of God's plan of redemption. God's plan wherein that you and I can be forgiven of our sin through the blood of Christ, conjoined with our obedience to God's plan in Christ through baptism, and then to live our lives faithfully in Christ each and every day of our life here. In the death of Jesus also, though, we see a demonstration of God's power over the grave. Jesus had said during the time in which He was here that He is the resurrection. And what's He saying? He says that even though man is able to die, or man will die, He says that in Him, through Christ, man's also going to live eternally. And we realize this not only because Jesus said it, but because of what happened with Jesus Christ our Lord when He went into the grave. Good people, He did not remain there for 3 days. He was there, but on the third day, He was resurrected from the grave. He was brought out of the grave. How and why? house because it was done by the power of God. Why? Because He is the first fruit. And that first fruit is an indication that there will be another resurrection wherein all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. In the death of Jesus, we also find is that God's name is glorified. During the life of Jesus, He glorified our Heavenly Father. But in the death of Jesus Christ, we see that He glorified our Father's name in the fact that now He has ascended back into heaven, where He is ruling and reigning on high. And the Father's name is glorified. Why? Because this was a part of our Father's eternal plan for Jesus Christ to reign as not only our priest, but also as the King who reigns from heaven. But good people, today, that which also ought to bring you and me hope and comfort is to know that in His death, He has secured a place for you and me in heaven. Because He has been resurrected from the grave, if we are in Jesus Christ, not only will we be resurrected from the grave, everyone's going to be resurrected from the grave, and there's going to be a transformation take place, and everyone will stand before God in judgment. But if we are in Jesus Christ, and if we are living our lives faithfully as Christians ought to live our life, we have hope in the resurrection of being able to spend eternity in heaven with our God someday. Are you here this morning and outside of the body of Christ? If you are, there's no reason to leave here today in that state of being lost. Why? Because God gives you an opportunity. But not only does God give us this time that we are together for you to respond, God gives you instructions. And God wants your heart to be pricked in the same way, if you would, that it was pricked by many there the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 through 41, where about 3,000 souls obeyed. If you're here today, we want to encourage you to obey us.